America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion. America needs to be taken down to God's bathhouse and the hose to turn on her. And the time isn't far distant when the wheels of God's judgment are going to go sweeping through this old God-hating world. And I want to take a pledge, and this audience to join me in a pledge, that you will never rest until this old God-hating, Christ-hating, whiskey-soaked, Sabbath-breaking, blaspheming, infidel, bootlegging old world is bound to the cross of Jesus Christ by the golden chains of love.
You can hear my microphone so much better when I turn it on. It just kind of works that way. So great to see you today. I want to welcome you to Heidezer Church. And it's just a privilege to get to be here with you. We are moving through in a brand new series. Just started this sub-series called Turn or Burn. Last week, Pastor Tom, a great job. I want to welcome you here today. My name is Todd Arnett, one of the pastors here at HDC. One way that's going to help you just be able to track with us better is if you have some notes. And so if you didn't get those on the way in, if you want to raise your hand, we have some folks who'd love to get those to you. If you have a Bible, whether it be an electronic version or an actual book, you can open it today to Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to continue in that book of Isaiah and move forward. It is officially hot in the high desert. I brought my flip-flops today just to prove it. So it's kind of annually what I do is when it's too hot for shoes, flip-flops are what I adorn. Yeah, I don't know if that's the right word. I wear. So just so you know, it's official and it's warm. Glad we could be in here today where it's a little bit cooler and kind of starting our week together. You heard earlier in our service today about the passing of Pastor Frank, and I have told you on occasion that Pastor Frank was my pastor growing up. From when about the time I was a freshman in high school through my junior year, he was a pastor that my family, of the church that my family attended in Yucaipa. And here we are in this series talking about prophets. If you ever had met Pastor Frank and you talked to people who were under his care, you would know he's the consummate pastor, the consummate shepherd of people. And we're talking about prophets. Isaiah's office, different than a pastor, it was a prophet. If you've been reading with us in our Bibles this last week, throughout his prophecy in the book of Isaiah, just a ton of what I'd almost kind of picture in my mind as I'm reading, like finger wagging. Like, you know what? This is going bad for you. You need to literally turn or you're going to burn. I mean, it was some very pointed words about what people needed to do to change their ways and behaviors. And yet this gift of prophecy, prophets are mouthpieces for God. They never just kind of came up with their own stuff. Well, it's my opinion. It's like, thus saith the Lord, I'm just repeating what I've heard kind of thing. And they would often be bringing bad news and words of you need to repent. Well, Pastor Frank as a pastor would cross over into those lines of prophet and tell people often when they needed to hear it, you need to change your ways. One of those times in particular is kind of seared into my mind. Our church met on Sunday nights as well for a Sunday evening service. And one of these Sunday nights kind of burned in my brain because in the back row, there was these people, these teenagers back there. And Pastor Frank, he's teaching in his typical, you know, weekend message. And you could tell he was kind of irritated. And finally, he kind of stops the message. He's standing behind a pulpit and stops and he says, you know, I'm not going any farther until those young people in the back stop talking. Now, Joanna and I felt horrible when he fingered us out in front of everyone. And yeah, that was the kind of way that Pastor Frank kind of worked in my life. He would call me out. And he did it, whether it's in front of everybody in a service or whether it was in our youth group or whatever, and had this great way of saying, Todd, I know God has built you for something more. And there's going to be, on this planet, in Iowa, and in a service that we do here in the high desert, there's going to be a line of people who say, thank you, Pastor Frank, for your ministry in my life. There's going to be a line of people who are right now with the Lord in heaven with Frank saying, Frank, thank you. And really, that's the great thing of when God gives us people like that as examples of how we ought to live. We want to be those kind of shepherds in people's lives as well around us. So we're excited, and we're excited to move forward in our series. As we do, these last 2 weekends have been around this idea of Serve Campus. Pastor Tom did a great job last weekend beginning the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, and it's God's, in a sense, invitation to Isaiah to go for him to the people. And we're going to move forward a little bit in a different direction in the book of Isaiah today. And as we do that, the focus is on finding your niche, finding the way you've been designed to serve other people according to the way God's built you. That's really what the Serve Campus emphasis is all about. And in it, I want to tell you, I really believe there's like three groups of people here today. There is a group of people for a host of reasons that you serving right now in this season isn't a good fit. And that's fine. There's another group, a growing group of you that are here today that are currently serving in some capacity at High Desert Church according to your giftedness. And I just want last weekend and this weekend just to affirm the great things that God is doing and using you to impact lives. But I believe there's this much bigger group somewhere in the middle of people who really should be engaging their giftedness in a way that's according to God's design for them but are currently not. And that's what these two weekends are for, kind of back to back, finding a way to get involved and use your giftedness. Certain teachers, pastors have really kind of these hot button issues. This is one of mine. I just have absolutely no qualms kind of calling people out and saying, you know what? Serving according to your shape, according to your gift mix, is so absolutely not only important for other people. Some of us in our minds are going, well, I should maybe get involved to help out the church. Can I tell you, you getting involved is really going to be helping you out. Because the joy and the satisfaction that you experience when you serve according to the way God has designed you is something that I with great confidence say you will know experientially when you step out into those waters. So I want to encourage you, and as we continue on today, our message is going to be kind of focused around that same idea of what does it mean and how does that work to serve according to my gifts and how does that impact lives around me. We're going to look today at this kind of, instead of like you've read through Isaiah, just a whole lot of man, people groups, nations, Israel, you need to change your ways. Today we're going to get some great news from the prophet, words that have been kind of peppered throughout his book that God is promising help. Great news is on its way. So in your notes today, what we're going to do is we're going to come face to face with a Jesus today that is not meant to only be a Messiah to marvel at, but a servant to imitate. That's what we're going to be about today. Not just marveling at this amazing new thing that God is going to do, but we're going to see he's a servant that we're called to imitate and to be like him in our worlds as we live out his way. So we're going to look today at the first 9 verses of Isaiah 42. In your notes, it begins with this idea. We're going to be introduced to a new kind of servant. A new kind of servant is going to be introduced as that we've never seen before, never really come on the scene yet. And this is the kind of person that Isaiah is announcing to the people. Look at the first 4 verses of Isaiah 42. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." These first 4 verses of Isaiah 42 are just packed. There's so much there. We don't have time to unpack them all today, but let me just hit some highlights. Here's some things we can learn from those first few verses. Number 1, a servant is coming. Now, it's interesting. When we talk about even that title, a servant, we might get real excited that a king is coming. We might get excited that some sort of liberator, some sort of just kind of incredibly powerful leader is coming, but we don't usually get that amped up about a servant. So this is different, and this servant is unlike any other because he bears the Spirit of God. It's not just someone who is a really powerful teacher or someone who has this great concern for others. This person literally has the Spirit of God on him. That's unique. That's new. 3 times in these 4 verses, the word justice is mentioned. And it's not just mentioned, it's saying he's going to bring or he's going to establish justice on the earth. That's going to be his mission, what he's going to be about. A great question though, but how? How is this new kind of servant going to do that? Not by crying out, shouting out in the streets, raising his voice, but instead he will serve the bruised and those who are barely hanging on. That's who he's coming for. The word picture is powerful. Think of the last time you were at a lake that had reeds that were growing up out of the water. It says the bruised reed, like a reed that people have been trampling on or a boat's come by and smashed. This reed is hanging over, maybe even dipped all the way into the water. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick, like a candle that's going out and it's just got maybe one last red ember and a lot of smoke is coming up. That is a smoldering wick. The one barely hanging on, he will not snuff out. Those are powerful word pictures to realize these are the people that this servant was coming. He was coming for them to bring justice to their oppression. This is a powerful, powerful picture. It says he will not falter until his mission is accomplished. He's going to do what he came to do. He'll be absolutely successful. And his message will extend to the far reaches of the earth. That last verse, that last phrase, in his teaching, the islands, even the farthest, remotest places, they will put their hope in him. Sounds a lot like Jesus to me. Realize Isaiah is writing to a group of people. He's writing this 700 plus years before Jesus is going to show up. So these words are powerful and these words are all about, hey, this is coming. In your notes, what is this? This is what we call a messianic passage. A messianic passage or a prophecy describing this coming work and person of God's Messiah, Jesus Christ, that would come not only for Israel, but for the nations. He would come for the whole world. And this is what you're going to see in Isaiah and the other prophets we're going to look at. They come in some sort of sequential order. And as they do, they're just getting closer and closer to the time of Christ. So more and more information is coming about who Jesus was going to be like, where he would be born, what were going to be the things that were going to be true about him. And Isaiah's just got these great verses peppered all throughout about this coming unique anointed one. So if this is what Jesus' mission was going to be, to bring justice through mercy to the nations, you could kind of sum that up from these first four verses of Isaiah 42, to bring justice through mercy to the nations, then how does that at all resemble what we're called to do? How does that at all resemble what we are supposed to do in response as he is the servant and we're supposed to serve how? Well, it begins maybe with the audience. You see, the people who visit High Desert Church every weekend, who walk onto this campus, who walk onto Apple Valley and Phelan, the people who come very often come as bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. There are people who don't have to be told that there's injustice in the world because they know it. Whether it's the highest reaching levels of government corruption or the absolute injustice that they experience on the job, in their home, at their school, they are a group of people who know what injustice is, and they come here. And the reality is that Jesus is their answer. Jesus is the only one who can bring justice to their oppression. Jesus is the only one who can demonstrate mercy to the broken. And by the way, he's the one that reached down to you and I when we were bruised reeds, when we were smoldering wicks that were barely hanging on. We came and he gently ministered mercy to us. Jesus came to be that kind of servant. And when you understand what kind of servant he came to be, then number two, simple point, imitate Jesus. In your notes, imitate Jesus. Be the kind of servant that he came to be. Follow in his steps. These next few verses in Isaiah 42 describe even more the kind of ministry he was going to come and bring. Begins in verse 5. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you, this servant, called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Just again, so much in these verses about the greatness of who this new servant, this unique person who was coming, what he was going to do. The first thing we'll see is that he doesn't come to bring a new covenant. He is the new covenant. That's been the great thing about reading through our Bibles this year from Genesis now up till Isaiah. We have been reading in the Old Testament about a covenantal system, the sacrificial system that was really just so, for so many layers, so many of us have been reading through and going, God, thank you that I live on this side of the cross. Not only because, okay, blew it Tuesday, let's go get a goat, you know? And this whole sacrificial thing was just like, oh, because the point was, it's not just enough that I got to bring the goat to the temple and he's got to be sacrificed for my sin, but I know I'm going to be here next week because I know I'm going to fail again. And I know that this is really just a Band-Aid. There's no true lasting forgiveness that I can find. That was the old system, the old covenant. This new servant was going to come and be the new covenant to this people. And that's just such incredibly great news. But the great news isn't limited simply to the people. The people is a reference to the Jewish nation. It's not just, Messiah didn't just come for them. Messiah, says in these verses we just read, also came to the Gentiles. And understanding that word a little bit, like what does that even mean? Jewish and Gentile, how does that go? Well, theologically, that really is an appropriate way to see the world. Some of you see music like that already. You say there's only two kinds of music, country and Western. Right? I don't even get that. Okay, but that's what you say. But it's like this. It's theologically to say that there is in the world, there are Jewish people and there are Gentiles. That is accurate. This unique nation that God chose. But why? Why did he choose them? To be a blessing, to be an example, to be a light to the world. That the nations would see their Yahweh God and want to know him and follow him as well. Great news is that Messiah came not just to the house of Israel, but to the world, to the Gentiles. You read later on from chapter 42 this week in Isaiah, I think it's like 49, this powerful phrase. It says, God's talking about his Messiah, and he says, it's too small a thing. It's too small a thing to only send Messiah to Israel. I'm sending him to the nations. He has come for the world. And I take such great just joy in that reality of that Jesus came for me as much as anyone else on the planet. What was this Messiah going to do for the Gentiles? He was going to lead them out of darkness because they were blind. He was going to unshackle their chains and bring them out of dungeons because they were imprisoned. And I simply read that and I go, who doesn't want to be a part of that? Who doesn't want to be a part of bringing justice to the oppressed? Who doesn't want to be a part of bringing sight to blind eyes? Who doesn't want to be a part of leading people out of prison? Man, sign me up. This is great news. I want to get on that bandwagon. But then as soon as we say that, the very next question comes to mind. But how? How do I do that? How do I play any role in that whatsoever? It's a great question. And the answer is this. You do it according to the way that God has built you. You do it according to the way that God has built you. See, in the Old Testament, God uniquely chose this nation called Israel to be his light to the world. Jesus comes in the Gospels, and he is indeed not just a, he is God in human form. But the thing is that Jesus leaves. After he lives a sinless life, dies a sacrificial death, he ascends after he raises on the third day. He ascends to the Father and he says, now you're going for me. Like Isaiah had this invitation to go for God. Now Jesus' followers were to go, or another way of saying it, they were to be his body. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and then Peter in 1 Peter 4 talk about this idea of the church being the body of Christ. In your notes, we are to be the expression of Jesus in your world according to the unique way that God has built you to serve him. Because the body is one body, but many parts. One body, but so many different functions. One body, but numerous members. That's what makes a body what it is. It is united, but it has great diversity. When we tell people you are the hands and feet of Christ, we are not exaggerating. That is what God intends his church to be, his people to be, his very body. I don't need to read all of them today. I'm just going to read one, and you don't need to turn there, but from Romans 12, one of those passages I told you, verses 4-6. It says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us, united in diversity. One body, many members." That's what God designed his body, his church to be in this world, is the expression of Jesus himself by the way that they plug in and they complete different parts of that body. Now, some of you are here and you're going, "Man, Todd, that's cool. That's kind of good news. I don't even know if I've ever heard that before, but I don't know what my part in the body is. Am I a toe? Am I an ear? Okay, what part do I function?" And here's great news. Every month we talk about ozone classes. We want to remind you, but I don't know if you've ever heard, but in our ozone sequence, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth class is how to understand your meaningful role. Three meaningfuls we talk about: meaningful worship, meaningful relationships, aka small groups. Thirdly, meaningful role. And what we talk about in that class is we talk about how God has uniquely shaped you, uniquely built you, uniquely designed you for ministry. I want you to write this down. Write down the word shape is actually an acrostic, S-H-A-P-E. Write that down. I'm going to give you what each of these represent, because this is what you can learn about in this class if you'll come. S, spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, some of you go, "Okay, that's actually, Todd, I know a little about that. I've taken a spiritual gifts inventory before." Many of you have. I had done that. And spiritual gifts to me are fascinating because the Bible talks about them being given to a believer, number one, as a sign that their faith is genuine, and number two, that they didn't have before they knew Christ. A unique way to serve God's people. It's so incredibly cool. The problem is, for so long, the church stopped there. Understand what your spiritual gifts are, period. And then put them into use, but that's it. And I always thought that was really kind of difficult. I told you, I've grown up in the church. I remember one vacation flying back. I was in like junior high, flying back to Michigan to be with my relatives. My cousin was the youth pastor, and we're in a group of like 20 kids, and that day they're talking about understanding and identifying your spiritual gifts. Well, in that, as they're doing it, he even looks at me, right? He knows the home I come from. He goes, "Todd, what are your spiritual gifts?" I first off go, "Well, Rick, thank you for calling me out in front of 20 people who are now staring at me, and I'm a visitor. Awesome. Number two, I don't know. I don't know what I've really kind of been built to do." And part of that was, not only maybe had I not taken a spiritual gifts inventory, but I didn't understand the other factors of God's shape. H is heart. Heart. What are the things that you are passionate for? What are the things that you would do and no one has to pay you to do them? That's your heart, what you love. A, abilities. Abilities, what are you good at? Now, some of you would say, "You know, Todd, okay, I'm good at some things." Some of you actually don't even have a great passion for what you're good at. Okay, like me, I'm good at some things. You know, it's not yard care or working on automotive vehicles. I'm not good at those. But I'm good at some things that I don't even get like all jazzed up about. But in the way that God has built me, he even uses those things for the good of helping and serving other people. P, personality. How has God uniquely wired the way you relate to other people and relate to your world? That's your personality. And lastly, E, the thing that is so incredibly, absolutely unique to you, your experiences. Letter E, experiences. The sum total of that is what we call your shape. How have you been shaped to serve God's people? I'm telling you, when you realize how you've been built, it is a huge piece to that puzzle to then go, "Now I know what I need to do." Our Ozone 4 class is going to be offered again August the 26th, the last Sunday of this month at the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service, out in Trailer T5. For those of you who are on our other campuses, we talk about Ozone classes frequently, so listen for the next time it's going to be offered. But I really encourage you, if you don't know how you're shaped, go to that, find that understanding, and then put it into motion. And lastly, in your notes today, number 3, when you imitate Jesus, you fulfill your destiny. When you imitate Jesus, you fulfill your destiny, what you were built to do. The last couple of verses in Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9, I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. These words were announced to God's people so that they would understand God's prophetic announcement of the coming of the special servant that we talked about today, and how that demonstrated God's all-encompassing knowledge and his all-powerful sovereignty to not just know the future, but to make the future. That is who God is, and he is in a class all by himself. Nobody else, no thing else can do that. And God says, I speak. So many times we talk about prophecy, and it's all we think about is the future. We're realizing it has lots to do with the present as well. But the future concepts of prophecy should always aim our hearts at going, who else can know this? We speculate about everything today. God knows. God is directing traffic. He completely is aware of where everything is heading and is directing it as we speak. And this unique ability was to be a sign that God is unlike anything else. The Apostle Paul, he affirmed this reality in the book of Ephesians. You don't need to turn there, but listen as I read about God's purpose and design for those who would someday come to follow Christ and be made new in him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Specifically, the Greek word there for the word handiwork is the word poema. Drop the A and you have the word poem. It's meant to look like that. You are, I don't know how many of us have really ever stopped and just drilled down about this for a minute. You are the art of God. Uniquely designed. Uniquely shaped. Uniquely put together. And why? Not just for unique sense, not just to be different or individual, to be an individual, uniquely for, look in that verse, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Back in eternity, God knew not only that you would be on the planet, God knew everything and put everything together about your life uniquely so that you could serve him according to a way that nobody else could. That is powerful to embrace. This is not only who God is, this is who he's made me to be. That is amazingly cool to me. Many of you serve in capacities outside of High Desert Church. I want to commend you for that. We love that you do. But I do want to do this. I want to draw to your attention. Be sure not to minimize the needs that are here. Because when you do this, when you serve at High Desert Church, you know that what we talk about every week, we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about you better be to church and just guilt people. We talk about world change. We talk about how God has, for the main purpose of all of our lives, built us, put within us supernaturally and strategically a relational world. 8 to 15 people, an oikos that we are designed to influence, that they would see Jesus when they see us. And if that's our main purpose of being world changers, guess what? When you serve at High Desert Church, you are a partner to world change. You are a partner to world change. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You're here and you're going, yeah, Todd, I've wanted to be influential in my oikos. And one of the most basic ways of doing that is inviting people to church. Just literally scores of you have that on your radar. Scores of you are doing that, and often they come. And as they come, you know, it's fascinating. When you come on a weekend that you just came by yourself or your family, whatever, you go through the service, you enjoy the music, you might enjoy the teaching, whatever, and you walk out. But I'm telling you, when that person or when that family that you especially invited to come today, when they come, man, you see the service through a whole different lens. You're going through the music and you're like, oh, I wonder what they think about that. And then the words come, you're like, that's going to be an interesting conversation. And the whole thing, you're just kind of nitpicking the service like, I wonder, what are they thinking about this? And you're just kind of going through this whole lens like you have this hyper anxiety. Why? Because you want them to have a great initial experience, not just about at High Desert Church, but with God. So that the God thing that you are all hung up about, they will be interested. They would want to know him too. Your heart is for their salvation. And you go, man, I just want them to have such a great experience here. We want that too, but have you ever stopped? Have you ever stopped and asked the question, what it takes for your guests, the people in your oikos, to have a great experience at High Desert Church? Have you ever thought about the multiple teams, well beyond even multiple people, serving in so many capacities to make even a weekend happen? Let me give some understanding to you if you haven't. If you brought today a guest, a group, a family of four, this is what happened in order for them to have a great first experience at High Desert Church. If you bring them to one of our satellite campuses, Apple Valley and Phelan, literally while you were still sleeping this morning, they were already there turning intermediate schools into places of worship. Hours before anyone shows up, they're there making that happen. On the Victorville campus, while you were still getting ready to come over, a parking team was out getting the campus secured and ready for you to come. Greeters were the very first people that your guests met today, and they met them with a smile. Both outside as they came in from the parking lot and when they came into the building. Children's teams worked this week to prepare for programs because the guests that you brought have a preschooler. And they went into that classroom and that preschool teacher was so excited to see them there and welcome them and introduce them to other children. That happened this week in preparation. Student Ministries put together a weekend worship service so their junior higher would have somewhere to go and understand God at his or her just kind of basic relational level. Program staffers met this last week on Friday. And you go, well, how long does that take to put together stuff, the programs? When you talk about how many thousands that we do, it takes a while. And they're committed to do it because they know it's what you need and you have it just handed to you as you walk in the door. Musicians and vocalists prepared and practiced. And they provided an experience today that was musically emotive and cognitive to be able to experience and react and respond to God in such a unique way. Our tech teams made sure that the lighting was right and that the slides came up at the right times so the people in your oikos could know the words of these songs or have notes that they could fill in. Ushers brought down message notes that they didn't know to pick up on the way in and gladly handed them down the aisle. Security teams make sure this is a safe campus for them to come and attend. I just blew through 10 teams that are in place, largely, almost exclusively staffed by volunteers who make weekends happen. And you're so grateful because your oikos comes and they have this great experience and you're so glad and they can't wait to come back to church with you. And you're like, this is so great, but can I ask you the question? Have you ever stopped and thought about what about those people who were serving today and when their oikos comes with them, are you helping them the way they're helping you? Maybe not by serving with preschoolers. Some of you would say, dear God, Todd, if that's the only way I can serve, that's going bad for everybody, okay? And I would agree. Don't serve there. But look at all the different ways. Today after this service, multiple stations all over this campus are available for you to go. And these are only a few we're highlighting. There's multiple ways to serve at High Desert Church. And the great news is when you understand how you're built, how you're shaped, man, we want you to serve according to your gifts. We want you to be in your notes. What happens is this, you get to be a part of world change. It's a team effort. World Change is a team effort and you are partners. Partners with other followers of Jesus at HDC in order for people to see him as they need to. We want you to be a part of the team. You are never called to be a world changer simply as a lone ranger, just all by yourself. You're a part of the body of Christ and you lean on other parts of the body to do their job. And guess what? They enjoy it because they're serving according to the way they've been shaped and they find great satisfaction in that. So here's the deal. If you're here and you go, you know, Todd, I need to get involved. I just haven't yet and I've been putting it off, whatever. Today's the day. Before you go, take that map that you've written your notes on or your info on the back. Before we leave today, take that to where it needs to go. Find out what the next step is in serving with that group of people. And here's the point. Here's the reason why. The lives that you are going to impact will be so glad that you did. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today, and we do, we just say thank you. Thank you that you have not only reached down to us in mercy, bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, but God, that you have even in turn not only saved us from our sin, but you've now given us the opportunity to be involved and serve other people according to the unique way that we've been built and designed. There's great joy in that. And my prayer would simply be for those today who've not taken that step yet to find how they're built to serve and to start putting that into motion. God, today would you compel them? And would they find great joy in the coming weeks and months as they serve according to their design? You may be here today and you're amped up about serving, but really the first step in even that is not just serving as a part of the body of Christ, it's becoming a part of the body of Christ, being in Jesus because you put your faith and life in him. At High Desert Church, we talk about the ABCs. A is admit. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you have lived life on your terms, not God's. That's what a sinner is. And simply, you're a part of the human race. That would be true for every person in this room. B is believe. Believe that the life, the sinless life that Jesus lived, the sacrificial death he died, the supernatural raising of the dead, raised him back from life, that paid the debt you can never pay to be right with God. No amount of religion, no amount of even service will ever cover that because Jesus came once for all, the new covenant. But it's not just about admitting and believing, it's about choosing. Choose today to put your faith in Christ. Choose today to bring your life to the cross and say, Jesus, I need you to cover my debt. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And the great news is you can do that even before you get out of your seat today. Put your faith in Christ and then this great news, then find out how he's built you to serve and serve according to your shape. God, we love you. You are everything to us. And we pray today all because of Jesus. Amen.